I'm going to ask y'all to stand with me before we get started this morning as we're going to pray for our neighborhoods. We have divided out into 12 different sections, just like they divided the land of Canaan into 12 different sections, which will be our title of our text today. And I want to thank all of you who participated in Harvest Fest, and we had like 500-600 people come by and share and just have a good time in your homes and in your neighborhoods. And I'm going to pray specifically this morning for 12 Calebs, at least 12 Calebs, at least one person in every neighborhood who will be the leader in our prayer effort for that area, because without prayer we can do nothing. That's the key to this whole success. I just heard an awesome testimony yesterday of my friend who does the work in Vietnam and how they'd been praying and they'd been doing Operation Andrew, and in a country where they have to get up at 4 in the morning to avoid getting caught, 1,500 pastors come to learn about Operation Andrew and pray and how they can reach their country. And so many of them, if they get caught, it's not good. But we have a country where we can do this openly. So I want you to join hands again, if you would, and we're going to pray for each other that God will use us to reach our country and our neighborhood specifically. Father, we just come before you this morning acknowledging you as Almighty God and acknowledging that we can do nothing without you. And Lord, we just come this morning bowing before you in your presence, asking you, Lord, to use us to reach our neighbor, to reach our street, to reach our community, to reach our city. And Lord, as we come together to pray for over 50,000 people, Lord, we just ask you to go before us and touch their hearts. But Lord, we also ask you to give us the strength and the power and the passion that, Lord, we would not settle for mediocre, but we would go over and beyond the call of duty in our place to be who you've called us to be. And Lord, I pray specifically for at least one person in each neighborhood that says, I will be a captain, I will be a Caleb, I will be a prayer warrior to orchestrate the prayers in my community. And Father, we just ask and pray this, believing that you'll touch hearts and lives to step forward. Lord, again, I pray for each and every one, not only here, but around the world. And Lord, I pray blessings on everybody today. And Lord, we just ask you through the power of the Holy Spirit to use this passage, this message today to encourage us to be all that we can be through you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Say bless you to someone as you're being seated. You can turn your Bibles, if you would, to Numbers chapter 13, and I'm going to read most of that story this morning, and then we're going to elaborate on it just a little bit. Numbers chapter 13, it'll take you just a minute to get there. Frank Tittle sent a cute little email around about a single man who wanted a pet, and he got him a centipede, and he wanted to invite him to church, and he kept speaking. The centipede talked. That's unusual, I guess. How many of y'all ever seen a talking centipede? Anyway, he kept asking him, said, are you going to church with us today? And he heard nothing. Are you going with us today? And he heard nothing. He kept on asking, and finally the little centipede said, I'm putting my shoes on. Some of y'all feel like that as you're getting your children ready this morning, I know. So I give you a little time to find Numbers. And we're going to start in verse 25 of Numbers chapter 13. They have been commissioned to go out and spy out their 12 areas. Israel divided up into 12 different places just like we have. And they went out, been to spy them, to check it out, to walk through the neighborhoods, to see what was there. And they come back, and beginning in verse 25, it says, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back the word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came into the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people there are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. And Caleb,
still the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it out, it is a land that eateth up the inheritance thereof. And the people there we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the son of Achans, which come of giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would it be better that we would have died in the land of Egypt, or we had died in the wilderness? And why has God brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not be better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, let's make a captain and let's return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were with them that searched the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, this land which we have passed through to search it, it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for our us. They are bread for us. That actually means we're going to eat their lunch, I heard Bud Gaddy tell me this week. But he said, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the whole congregation said, let's stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared to the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be until they believe me for all the signs that I have shown them? Then fast forward to verse 22. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and had followed me fully, him I will bring into the land where he went, and his seed shall possess it. Father, again, we thank you for these words. We pray, Lord, that you just move through our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about the title of Give Me My Mountain. Wouldn't it be great if every day was a mountaintop experience? Well, when you get to heaven, it's going to be. But in reality, here in the real world, Satan, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking who he can steal and what he can destroy and who he can devour. And there's going to be mountains and there is going to be valleys. We do live in a fallen world. And the God of this world, we need to understand that he's out to destroy us and to discourage us and to keep us from doing all that we can do. And we know for a fact he is going to attack. It's going to happen, especially when you stand up for God and you start doing what he's called you to do and you start making a difference, you can expect an attack from the devil. Now, we're about to hear a story about preparing for a battle, for about to take the land. And I want you to notice something here. Before the battle ever starts, we see the outcome. We hear about two people who are going to be successful. Two people are going to be declared winners. 603,550 are going to be declared losers before the first shot is ever fired. Before the first march is ever made, the battle is already determined. When you think about what we just read this morning, the majority said, we can't do this. We are like grasshoppers in the sight of these people. They are stronger than we are. But two of them said, let's possess it at once, for we are able to overcome it. The majority measured their giants against their own strength. But Caleb and Joshua measured these giants against their God's strength. Two had a great God and little giants. But the majority saw great giants and did not see a great God. The majority trembled in fear, but two would triumph in victory. Two would enter the promised land and take the mountain, 603,550 would die in the wilderness. Two claimed the promise and saw the reality that if God be for us, then who can be against us? The rest learned that if God be against us, then who can be for us? What a major difference. What a major difference. Today I want us to look at some keys in Caleb's life as his keys to success as he went out to conquer the land. I want you to notice that first of all, he acknowledged that there were obstacles between him and the mountain. He said, there are giants there. He realized this. But you know something? God don't always remove the giants. Instead, he gives us the strength to do it ourselves. That's important to understand, that God does this. And just ignoring the giants, just ignoring the troubles, the things in your life that come up and try to act like they're not there, that's not going to cut it. You can't sweep them under the rug. You have to deal with them. The Bible says a little leaven will ruin the whole lump, or one rotten potato will ruin the whole bushel. If there's a problem, if there's a giant in your life, if there's an obstacle, you have to deal with it before you can conquer your mountain. There's no way around it. And that's what God tells us to do. Now, I want to tell you, as we do that and discouragement comes and things don't always go our way, you need to understand that a closed door or obstacles is not always God saying no. You know, I've heard people say, I started through this door and God closed it. Don't be so quick to say that. Because if you're moving for God and you're wanting to go where He wants you to go, the devil's going to shut those doors sometimes. And we need to pray about that and discern that. I remember when God called me to be a part of missions, I got up that night, resigned my church, called the IMB the next morning, said, God's called me to Russia. I'm be there on Wednesday. I drove up there and I met with the guy and he said, you know, we don't usually have people do this. And I said, well, it's pretty clear there ain't no need waiting around. He told me to go to Russia. He says, well, there's a little deal here. You got to go to seminary first. You've got a teenager. You got to wait till he's 18. But if you'll come back when all that's said and done, we'd like to talk to you. Now, it'd been real easy to get in the car and be discouraged and just give up. But you know, God opened another door. He had not changed his man to be involved in missions. It just wasn't that particular route that he wanted me to go. And because we found another route and we listened to God, and Lord is blessed, and we've been able to go to numerous countries. But if we'd have just said, that door shut, it's over. Don't do that. The devil is going to send the fiery darts. And when you're going to climb a mountain, it's not easy. For those of y'all who went to Nepal and the Himalayas, it's one thing to look at them. It's another thing to get to the top of them. You'll find you got places sore and muscles that you didn't even know you had. And when you really start working and doing what God wants you to do, there'll be fiery darts come from places you never even expected them. But that don't mean God has changed his mind. He still wants you to persevere and to win that battle. So as we think about this and we think about we need the strength for the journey, where did Caleb get his strength? And this is what I want to give with you today, something that you can take on and use for the rest of your life. Number one, Caleb's strength came from being in the will of God. I've heard people say many times there's no safer place to be than in the center of God's will. Caleb was pursuing God's promise. He was in God's will. He knew it. In Numbers 14:8, he said, if the Lord be pleased with us, then he will bring us into a land of milk and honey, and he will give it to us. In Numbers 14:24, the Lord had told him, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, and listen to this, he has fully followed me. Big key. Fully followed me, he will possess the land. When you think about David in Psalms 37, he said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do it. In the New Testament, 1 John in chapter 5, and this is the confidence which we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Again, Caleb's strength came from knowing he's in the center of God's will. And when the obstacles came, when all the encouragements came, he just kept on going because he knew he was doing what God wanted him to do. Turn on over with me to Joshua chapter 14. Secondly, this morning I would say to you that strength comes from God's word. In Joshua 14 and verse 9, listen to what the word of God said that strengthened Joshua. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your feet has trod shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord thy God. You know, this word didn't just start there. This promise went all the way back to the covenant, going all the way back to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 12, when he told Abraham, and he said to Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Exodus again, he reconfirmed that covenant. And the Lord said, I surely have seen the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. I want to tell you, God told them from the beginning what they were going to find when they went to spy out the land. This was like they were bringing back a report that was not a surprise. He told them all the way back, this is who's going to be there. These are the obstacles you're going to face. Doesn't he do the same for us? In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And what does his promise say? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want you to notice again the key here. He said, I have fully followed the Lord. So he had strength from God's word, knowing that he was doing exactly what he told him to do. Thirdly, strength comes from experience. Caleb had witnessed firsthand the blessings and the cursings, and seen God deliver them time and time again. I want you to think about his life. He was one of the group that witnessed the 10 plagues that came upon the Egyptian people. He was there when he said, your firstborn shall die of all the Egyptian people. He saw that with his own eyes. He was part of it. On the other hand, he was also there when the plagues were afflicted by God on the Israelites when they did not follow what the Lord wanted them to do. He had saw both sides of the story. He was there when the Red Sea parted and the Egyptians walked across on dry land, and then when Pharaoh's army tried to come, it caved in on them and buried them right there on the spot. He saw that. He was also there when the people rose up against Moses and they began to decide they wanted another leader, and God swallowed up the ground with them. He just opened it up and swallowed them and the ground closed. He saw what happened when they disobeyed him. He was there to eat the manna every day. He was also there when they rebelled and said, we want something else to eat, we're tired of this, and the quail came, and so did the fiery serpents that bit many of them, and he saw them die because they rebelled against the Lord, his own people. He was there in the desert when there was nothing to drink and water came out of the rock. He was also there when the fire consumed the people, his own people, who had rebelled against God and destroyed them right there before his eyes. He was there when they marched around Jericho and saw the walls came tumbling down and they take that city. He was also there when the people that God said, I will not be with you, decided, we'll go take this land on our own, and they were utterly destroyed. So God, he had saw both sides. Caleb had seen God, his promises, and he had seen his curses. He knew what it was like when you obeyed and you disobeyed. He really understood what it means. If God be for us, then who could be against us? And he really understood what it meant. If God is not for us, then we ain't got a chance. He saw both sides. So his strength came from seeing God in action. And that's the way God does us. He gives us victories so we can build on those, and other people's victories that we can build on. And he also lets us see from our failures that we need to learn that we can't do it on our own. And fourth, his strength came from God's power. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9, he had made the statement, "The Lord is with us. Fear not, their defense is gone." Man, you would have thought that would have encouraged everybody. After all they had seen and all that God had done, fear not, because God is with us and they have no defense. He saw that, but that's not what happened. He believed in God's power. Listen to what he said in Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to read in verse 7. He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him his word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brothers that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where thy feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and thy children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. He ain't taking credit for eating right, exercising. He says, the Lord has kept me alive. I'm in the shape I am because God has taken care of me. And he said, for 45 years, even since the Lord spoke the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness until now, and lo, I am 85 years old, and I am as strong as this day as I was in the day of Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so as my strength is now, for war, both to go out and to come in. I want you to think about that. Again, he gave God the credit for all he does. You know, a lot of times we can do things and God gives us gifts and talents and abilities, but it is God who gives us those. We didn't earn them. We don't deserve them. He gave them to us to use for his own honor and for his own glory. And I want to tell you something. If you don't remember anything else today, remember this. In John chapter 15, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me and my word, you will produce much fruit. Brother Jimmy covered that thoroughly. But the bottom line to that is, you cannot win a spiritual battle in the physical. You hear me? You cannot win a spiritual battle against the devil in your own flesh. He will eat your lunch if you try to do that. He is greater than you. You are not greater than him. But God is greater than him, and he's greater than all of us, and you and God make a majority. Don't ever forget that. Go to him for your power and your strength, and then watch what he does through you. Number five, he claimed his promise. I love this part. In verse 12, he says, now therefore give me this mountain, where the Lord spoke to me in that day. For you know on that day how the Amalekites were there, and the cities were great and fenced. But if the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. And as the Lord said, and Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became an inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord his God. How many times have we heard that this morning? Obedience. I have wholly followed the Lord that God. I want to tell you something. Caleb was not just a hearer of the word. He was doers. He didn't go through that wilderness for 40 years not to do anything about it. He did not come all of his life and prepare and wait for that moment to sit back and say, I'm not going to take it while I've got an opportunity. He took his mountain. He was the only one that did take his mountain. All the other tribes left people living, and they came back as a thorn in their flesh forever. But Caleb took the mountain, the most difficult area, with the giants, with the fenced cities, the hardest part, and at 85 years old, he completely annihilated the enemy. Amen. That is just awesome to think what he did. And I want you to think about something. Sometimes we say, well, we're raised in an environment that maybe we don't get what we need and we're not brought up in what we needed. 40 years in the wilderness with a bunch of losers, knowing every one of them was going to die but him and Joshua? Come on. Where did he get his encouragement? He fully followed the Lord when nobody else was doing it. When nobody else was doing what they wanted to do. I want you to remember this morning. Success is often determined by those who overcome discouragement. That's really how you measure success of a leader. How much can discouragement can they overcome? Because you know, it's one thing to start a race, it's another thing to finish it. And it's so easy to get discouraged, but Caleb overcome. You know, as I think about this and how he took his land and how that he prospered in Israel and how God gave him everything he did, and we've talked about in our steering committee, 50,000 people in Cookeville. 50,000 people. Well, I don't see no mountains. Ain't going to run into many giants out there, at least not like these, 10 foot tall. We might have some gated communities, but I done found out one of our guys can jump fences when we was passing out bags the other day. I want to tell you, the only way it's going to happen is we have the determination to overcome discouragement. Because not every door you're going to knock on is going to say, hey, we're great, we're glad you're here. And we're not always going to get instant results. But the Bible tells us if we don't grow weary in well-doing, if we continue to sow, we're going to reap. Now that's a promise of God that we can take just like Caleb did, or we can be like the majority and say, no, I've done tried that. People ain't going to listen. They ain't going to come. I've invited them. I prayed for my neighbors. I've done all this. Don't give up. I love that old saying, if you're at the end of the rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. And just keep on doing what God told you to do. Because it's in His timing. It's in His timing that we're going to reap, not ours. If we all had it to do, we'd drive through a drive-thru or a self-checkout and we'd want it done today. But it's in God's timing. And our instructions are to wholly follow the Lord. You know, as I say that to you, I don't expect you to do that because I ask you to or because Brother Randy asked you to. Because God asked us to. And when we think about Him and the mountain that He had to take called Calvary, and He knew what was going to happen, and He prayed in that garden, if there's any other way around this, Lord, I'd like to see it, but nevertheless, Your will be done. And He fully followed the Father with all the beatings and the nails in His hands and the mockings and the laughing and the humiliation, He was able to say, it is finished. That's why we ought to do it. Now, how are we going to do it? Three little things. Number one, realize I can't. Number two, realize He can. And number three, make a decision. I'm going to let Him. I'm going to let Him work through me. I'm going to follow Him. If you'll do that, God will do the rest. Stand with me this morning. Father, this morning we come to You, and as I bow my head and close my eyes, I think of the verse, Lord, that says, You're the potter and we're simply the clay. And Lord, that You make us and You mold us to be used for Your honor and for Your glory. And this morning, Lord, salvation is all about, I can't, but You can, and we got to let You. Lord, we can't win this world. We can't win our own battles in our own lives without You. And Lord, we need to surrender. Lord, you tell us those who humble themselves will be exalted, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And Lord, we saw that right here. We saw two winners that humbled themselves and wholly followed you, and over 600,000, the mass majority who wanted to do it their way, and they failed miserably. Oh God, help us today that we could have a testimony that we said we have fully followed you. God, let that be our prayer. And then, Lord, let us take steps day by day simply to follow you. And Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning.